everybody. It's a Thursday program. Mark's here from Berkeley. Chase here from Plymouth. Our resident professional, Trudy's here from 94.7 WCSX.
Asterisk.
Trudy and Jim in the morning, 6 to 10. They're on tomorrow, or today, as you hear this, or whenever, as you heard this. I'm Drew from Ferndale. This is the Drew and Mike Podcast. And where to start today? Well, shortly we're going to be calling Dan Dubinsky, who is a real estate guy in Royal Oak, and he ended up being the answer to a puzzle in a 30 for 30 ESPN documentary. As this great Phi Slamma Jamma team, funny, Trudy came in asking me questions about dunking, and she'd obviously boned up for...
I studied.
Yes.
Yes.
They did 30 for 30 on the three Final Four University of Houston teams from 82 to 84, I believe it was. That never won a championship.
Nope.
Clyde the Glide Drexler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hakeem Olajuwon. Benny Anders. And they had a great, great, great team. They should have beaten North Carolina State, of course. That was the huge upset. Yep.
I agree.
Rightly so. Anyway, the crux of the 30 for 30 became the fact that one of the most talented guys, maybe the most talented recruit they had, who had kind of a disappointing college career, Benny Anders just disappeared. He played in the Philippines for, what, 2 years, a couple years?
Yep.
And he was going to take a pro job somewhere else, and he showed up so out of shape that they sent him home.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And that was the last he was heard of by his teammates, his friends.
He disappeared on purpose.
Even family that he completely lost touch with. And no one thought he was dead. I mean, they knew he was alive. I'm not sure how they knew he was alive. You just heard.
Yeah, I think they just heard stories, so they assumed. And maybe they felt that if he was dead, they would have heard that.
But what's really strange is when they do find him, the two captains actually went off in search of, took a few plane rides and rental cars and staked out a few places. When they finally found him, he was about, what, 2 miles from here? 2 miles from
yep.
the studio?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's strange.
And Matt triangulated on him. Is that how the story goes?
Well, Matt was watching the 30 for 30, Matt Riley, and he saw an Arts Beats and Eats poster, just a tiny little poster somewhere on the screen, and realized, well, that's got to be in Royal Oak. And then he recognized the building, and it's right next to Oak City Grill.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He's a much better investigator than I was, because you saw that part, right?
When I did. Found him. Yeah, and no idea. That, no clue.
But there's that one street where it's got a pharmacy name. It's something pharmacy, and if you Google that pharmacy, it exists upstate.
Oh.
So it was done to throw us off the hunt.
Wow. Well, that's weird.
I know. Well, he doesn't want to be found.
So did Hakeem come here?
Yeah, Hakeem did, from Nigeria. That's a great story,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. No, Hakeem was not in the search party.
He was not in the search party.
No, oh, the two captains came, who really weren't the two of the better-known players, ironically. But yeah, Akeem, what was the story with Akeem? He came from Africa to play basketball, and he's being recruited.
Nobody knew anything about him, so he's supposed to visit four schools, St. John's, Providence, Louisville, and Houston. Lands in New York. St. John's is supposed to pick him up because they're based in New York. But nobody's there to greet him, so he's kind of wandering around. He goes out the front door, and it's freezing outside. So he's like, well, this sucks. And he goes in, finds a baggage handler who's also Nigerian. He's like, which place is warmest? Which was most like Nigeria? And the guy's like, well, go to Houston. And so he got on a plane, went to Houston, and that was the end of it. Never went to Providence or Villanova to visit.
The guy went to meet him at the airport from Houston, thought he was 6'7".
Yeah, nobody knew anything about him.
And he was, what, 7'1 or something? 7'2?
7 feet, yeah.
He was a soccer player in Africa, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's so underrated as far as NBA players go.
He won the two championships between Jordan baseball. When Jordan was playing baseball, Houston won those two titles, right?
Yeah, but he also lost, wouldn't he have lost to Boston in the 80s as well? Like right when he came out with Ralph Sampson?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's right. Sure did. Yeah, they lost six games.
He's been to the finals a couple times.
Yeah, no, he's a great player. He's way underrated, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
What were you guys watching when I came down here? I came down and there was
glad you asked.
Some activity going on between Trudy and Mark. Trudy and Mark
Jay
squabble.
Was pretending not to listen. You didn't want to hear it.
Well, True Life started up again, and someone tweeted me and said, tonight's about adult babies. Which we're fascinated by adult babies, right?
Oh, I didn't know that was adult babies.
Oh, you had no idea?
Yeah.
I thought there was something wrong with that guy.
Yeah, well, there is
something wrong with him. Yes. He wants to be a baby.
Clearly.
I mean, I thought he was, behind. Or, I mean, way, way behind.
He is.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. But he chooses to be that way. And Mark is arguing with him, just vehemently refuting every choice that this guy makes because the guy's a tree trimmer. And he goes, babies can't use chainsaws.
He was driving a tractor.
Babies can't change
their own diapers.
Now, of course, you know, there has to be a sad element to it. So his father passed away when he was six. But why wouldn't he regress to just the age of six? Why does he have to go back to being like one and a half and wear a diaper?
Well, nobody puts baby in a corner.
The diaper's always so integral.
This is so ridiculous. Who takes care? Who babies him? Who is the adult? Oh,
well, we'll get to that one. Let's just focus on that guy because there's three people. And there's one girl who apparently is a star on YouTube. She does diaper reviews.
Apparently a star.
What?
She reviews.
How many hits do you get for diaper reviews?
Can you believe these BS jobs people have? You know, like the promoters you guys were talking about the other day, where that their only job is showing up places.
Oh, I know.
On YouTube or tweeting.
Stunning. Yeah.
Let's see. This review from
her. Oh, boy.
If you want to see her on YouTube, it's Potty Cakes, 14,558.
14,500.
Yeah, she's reviewing the Tykeables.
Wait, and she actually makes a living doing that?
I don't know if she makes a living, but that's what she does.
YouTube.
I think you like baby poop.
It's like
I've heard that in a long time.
Where she jumps up on the bed and she turns around and pats herself on the butt with her new diaper on.
Her diaper's like a thong diaper,
and then.
Oh, she's wearing the diaper?
Well, yeah, they all are.
Oh, okay, I was confused from the diaper reviews versus... Is the diaper reviews connected to the adult babies?
That's like what she does.
Oh, she's reviewing them for adults.
Yeah.
That
adults,
wear diapers.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And, of course, you have to wear them to know how truly great they are.
Yes.
Right.
Wait, are...
And
you know,
then she becomes introspective about the fact that it's hard to find people who you can date in their 20s who will put up with you wearing a diaper.
Well, that's kind of what I was wondering, is in, like, who takes care of these people, but I know you're going to get to that.
Well,
but I have to ask one question first. Yeah. Adult babies, it always seems like it's dudes. Are there women who are adult babies?
Yeah, the one who does the reviews is a woman.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought she just did the reviews and she was sort of in the community.
No.
Capitalizing.
No, she's one too.
She's a big old baby.
Oh, my God. Does it lean male, though?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. We're the creeps.
We're the babies.
We really are. Well, so anyway, then there's another guy whose wife babies him, treats him like he actually blew a little hissy fit because he didn't have the bib that he wanted. She said, so he's just all
and his
bummed
alligator
out.
Baby. Or his turtle bib.
While he's eating mac and
cheese.
Did
you cue up a good part here, by the way?
Well, here's the intro where you get to see all three.
Oh,
and
cool.
And then we'll jump ahead to my man.
Can't wait. We're delaying an interview for this, and it's so worth it, in my opinion.
He's yelling, babies don't drink beer.
They don't.
That is bullshit.
That is bullshit. You should adhere to your life choice.
Hello, world.
That baby is ugly.
On this episode of True Life, we'll meet three people living
There's
as adult
man.
Babies.
Have you guys ever seen a girl in a diaper before?
Second
They're
hour.
Part
Gross.
Of a fetish community known as ABDL.
Once you get a diaper on you, find that your waist gets a little bit bigger.
Adult baby diaper lovers, also known as littles.
I have a onesie, pacifiers, sippy cups.
Robert has recently found a daddy, but finding a full-time caretaker will mean having to leave his life behind and move to
she
another
found a dad.
State to live a baby's daddy.
Things are
He's adopted by a black
now.
Man.
How much
a black dude? Are you kidding me?
No.
Will he be able to go through with the move and start his life as a full-time adult baby?
Bye, Tennessee.
Matilda has struggled with dating in the adult baby world.
Duh. Imagine explaining to somebody who is in their 20s, oh, hey, by the way, I like to wear diapers.
Will she be
still
able
got a
to
pussy?
Overcome her isolated existence and find
and a
love?
Mouth.
Sometimes I think it would be nice like to find that mythical person who's going to make at least your problems seem to go all the way.
How about Mitchell the fact that you have blue hair, too?
Baby whose wife
well, the reason it's so hard is because it's so stupid. So you might want to... Think about that.
Want
Can they find a balance between adult baby
and... He just stuck his tongue out at his wife.
Rachel's fetish be what breaks up their marriage.
If my wife came to me and said that she couldn't deal with me wearing diapers and being an adult baby, I don't know what would happen. It would be bad.
Well, I'll
tell
you.
It's an ultimatum from the adult baby.
A sexual escape.
Babies don't make ultimatums.
Something more innocent.
This is George.
Hi, George.
Some of the most hurtful things that I've heard have been, he's a pedophile, he's a pervert.
How will they reconcile their ABDL personas?
Babies don't know what pedophiles are, so they don't get hurt by stuff like that either.
Right.
Find out tonight on True
See,
Life,
I told you, it's going to drive you nuts.
If I could change, I probably would, but I can't change it. It's a part of me.
Well, it's sort of like the actor who was... method acting, pretending he was Abraham Lincoln all around the clock.
Yeah.
And then he's
Lewis.
Taking, yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis, he's taking limos to the set
right.
every day.
Yes. Talking on his cell phone.
Crap like that, yeah.
Let me jump forward. This is my man. Let's see what he's up to here.
Not in baby clothes.
Play.
Tractor trailer one morning heading to work.
Oh, he's talking about his dad dying at age 6. That's why he thinks he's a baby.
I'm not sure that
Mark noted.
You ever
babies
really
don't
get
have tattoos.
Yeah, he's got giant, he's got sleeves.
I have a hard time with something.
Yeah, Child
like
Protective
that.
Services can they be sent in for adult babies?
Old, how do you expect a kid to deal with that when most adults can't?
I don't know. A lot of people's parents pass away.
Yeah, most of them do.
It's a little bit of a rough subject for me to talk about. So.
Well, then regress into a baby. Now.
It's... kind of rough to have.
That car looks like a baby's driving it.
When my ex-wife left, she outed me as a
oh my god, this guy lying in the bed sucking his thumb with his eyes closed.
The most hurtful things that I've heard people say have to be he's a pedophile, he's a pervert, he's you know, a freak, he's not, you know, just
get to the baby stuff, dude. Let's go.
Babies can't drive tractors.
No.
That baby is ugly.
That is bullshit.
Just have a little tight car.
On a website.
There's his daddy and his brother, his adopted brother.
I'm going to move to Kentucky with Daddy and Bubby.
Daddy and Bubby.
God, they live in Kentucky. Oh my god.
They're really special to me. I can say that. There
is that baby's got a chainsaw.
Very deep connection.
Oh, I call bullshit.
As far to say as I would call it, I would.
Let me jump ahead so you can see what a baby this guy is.
My actual father.
He's in a tree with a chainsaw. That's when Child Protective Services clearly need to be brought in.
I know. That parent should be in jail.
Yes.
This is pretty much my
this is baby room.
Sanctuary, I guess you could say, for now. And where
at a fire
I'm
truck.
Able to pretty much come in and be myself. I have... all my stuffies over here in the corner, and
stuffies.
My favorite
how
one.
How hard he's getting,
George.
Oh,
the
George!
Monkey with the purple eyes. Little space is actually, I want to say it's a headspace that you can. It's kind of like just a different personality. I mean,
God, he's got a back tattoo.
Space, I know.
You're a
completely really hard on babies to get tattoos.
No, they don't like pain.
God, that's a big tattoo. Fires.
I have sippy cups.
Sippy cups
I actually
suck.
Have a onesie that
no back tattoos seem kind of pointless. I mean, you can't see
okay.
them.
Yeah, I know.
You're usually wearing a shirt.
I have to put my diaper on. But
you have to find reasons to be shirtless.
No child porn. He's putting his diaper on.
Name, I usually go by Baby Boy.
It's a dumb name.
This is George.
No, he's a baby
I've
George.
Had him for about 3 years.
Look at him playing with George.
Oh, he's talking about the doll?
Yeah, stuffed animal.
They can't hear that.
Who is he calling?
What's his name?
Oh, I thought he was talking on the phone there.
No, he's talking to George, his stuffed monkey.
Granted, my heart...
I'm sure Kentucky is really open to all of
this. Oh, yeah.
A lot of open-minded people there.
Jumping on the bed looks kind of fun.
I guess to kind of spread my wings and fly.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Aww. All right, I'm just going to jump forward to when he gets to meet his dad and live in Kentucky.
He's never met his biological father?
No, his father died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
His biological
adopted
father died
him.
When
silly
he was
me.
Sick. Yeah. The black guy that adopted him and Bubby.
And did he advertise
daddy,
like
daddy
I'm an adult
Lee.
Baby looking for a daddy?
Yeah.
And this guy wants the gig.
Yeah, that's why I don't like babies on the computer.
No, I get being the baby. Like, I can imagine doing that and, you know, mommy taking care of me. And that could be fun for a little while.
Yeah.
But I don't get how does what's the parent get off on?
I don't know. Just have a kid for real.
Is there same sex? And I don't think he's gay, right? Is he gay?
That's funny. I didn't even think about that. I assumed he was gay. I mean, he's...
But why would he adopt two adult men? Because both of those kids, well, they're not kids.
They're both those babies.
This older guy has adopted two men as his children. Yeah,
that's all I want to know is what's in it for that guy.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out. Maybe he just wants to take care of some babies.
It changes
and by the
diapers.
Way, if he has sex with them, is that pedophilia? Technically.
It crosses the line.
There's some line being crossed there.
Yes. But didn't it show him changing his diaper?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
Is the diaper actually soiled or is that playtime?
Well, it better be soiled. Why change it? It's a waste of a diaper.
Well, I don't know what they get off on or how far they go.
Ugh.
I mean, I have a feeling that's soiled, my guess.
And what is there in that? What is the thrill?
Well, now I did see a guy, actually, or I read this online, I'm embarrassed to say.
Oh, boy.
Reading about it. And the guy who wore the diapers and would soil his diapers, he got off on being cleaned up afterwards by his mommy, which was actually a woman he knew. Mm. And he loved the baby powder she put on his butt afterwards. Loved that.
Can't he just apply it himself?
Yeah.
No, that's what he loved.
Has to be theater.
Was how she kind of swung his legs up. And
oh, jeez. Wow.
Where's daddy? Where's
Does
daddy?
The father get child support from the biological mother? That's it. It's a great question, Jay.
Good question.
Go back.
So complicated.
God, can this thing be harder to fast forward and rewind? All right, here's
Dan. Okay, there's a black dude.
Does he have like a baby?
Oh, look how excited excited baby boy is to meet his daddy.
But I feel like we need more of a plan about it. I don't know.
Hey, babies don't have goatees. The guy's got a goatee.
What? There's mommy.
Heckles. Heckles.
Play with your food. Your food. Stop playing with it.
Mitchell and Erica continue to work on their marriage and are trying to find balance between husband and wife, mommy and baby.
Oh, my God.
Are we back to the black dude and the...
Baby boy and Daddy Lee?
Yeah.
They're at a tent revival.
I think there's gay action going on here. Yes. I'm just taking a wild guess.
Well, he does bathe with his adopted brother in the bathtub.
Yeah.
look how loving that dad is, Drew.
Yeah, I see that.
I'm excited to get to see Daddy and Bubby again. I'm a little bit anxious, I'm not gonna lie.
Did you have a good day yesterday?
Yeah, I had an okay day.
Are you all packed up?
Yeah.
I guess you could say it is my first ABDO relationship where I'm actually having to go out of state with. It can be very intimidating, knowing that there's not really any turning back.
Boy, he sure has a lot of possessions to move.
Yeah.
Duffel bag.
We'll go.
You're back at seatbelts.
Yeah.
They don't have car seats?
Yeah, he needs a car seat.
Oh, wait, they're both in the back seat.
Yeah, this could be trouble.
Why? So happy to see you. I miss you.
Wait, you just met him. Calls him baby.
No!
Oh, he kissed his head. Oh, how weird.
What do you want, baby?
Why does he call him baby?
Yeah, bourbon.
Bourbon.
Y'all are too little to be drinking alcohol. I think you and Bubby need a nap.
Yeah.
No.
Take a nap.
No, we don't need no nap. You yelling and it sounds like you need a nap.
Oh, my God.
That's not. Y'all not going to win this argument. Don't worry.
Oh, this is so fucked up.
The kids are fighting in the back seat.
Drunken babies.
No. Well, you better get that blankie and take a nap.
Take a nap, or I'll turn this car around and drop you back off at your shitty home.
I got you.
You got me.
Oh, they're fussy from the long ride. This is 4 hours later.
Fussy. Finally home, babies.
Home.
Yeah.
Oh, this is my dream come true. I mean, I never thought it was going to happen. To
to actually think that I had found somebody that, you know, could actually care for me like Daddy Lee and Xander, like they do.
You are so fucked in the head.
Oh, he's wet.
Would you want to put your PJs on too?
Oh, the changing. Here comes the changing. He's got his legs up in the air. The soiled buttocks. Wait, why is he?
Yeah. Oh, you pick the baby up after changing it.
It's a lengthy hug.
He's putting him in bed.
I mean, they're kind of the, truthfully, the reason that I'm still around. There's no doubt in my mind that if I'd have kept going down the same road that I was going down, that come another year or two, I probably wouldn't be here.
I hate to do this, but we got to call Dan Dubinsky for the show.
Jay, did you just flip them off?
No, he's got a wedding ring. That baby's wearing a wedding ring.
Hey, that's bullshit. They're doing homework.
Oh my gosh, here you go. They're going to phase.
Wait, how are they in school?
They're babies.
They're recovering. Oh, they were babies don't go to school, Drew.
Silly me, they were coloring.
Have you ever seen a kid in school with diapers?
I thought he was doing homework. I'm sorry.
I'm glad I did.
This is one sick situation.
They're in the tub together, the two guys.
No splashing.
I think everyone's hard here. I could be wrong.
He's reading him a baby book.
Tell all your friends that today you rescued Red the Rescuer. Indeed, he gave him a high five.
The two boys are the two men are sleeping next to each other in a bed. He reads a bedtime story
with a giant Paw Patrol blanket over him
and passies in their mouths.
Oh, they have tub crayons though. That's pretty cool.
Night-night. Jay, you want to dial up Dan?
Those two babies are going to be butt-fucking time.
Don't anyone reference to Dan what we were just talking about.
Why we were late?
Yes. Oh, God. Jeez. Jesus Christ. Ugh. Oh, boy.
Yeah. How long?
I'm speechless.
That completely breaks up. Somebody gets tired of the game.
It seemed totally real, though, didn't it?
Leaves.
Yeah.
Wait, Dad's leaving them home alone?
No, just leaves. Right. Just leaves the kids.
Oh.
On the, you know, corner.
Hello?
Dan?
Yeah.
Hey, it's Drew and Mark and Trudy. How you doing?
I'm great. How you guys doing?
Hey, Dan.
Really excellent. Well. Yeah. I'm glad we finally got to hook up here. 30 for 30, of course, aired, I believe it was last Tuesday, and a fascinating story about Phi Slamma Jamma, the University of Houston basketball team, and this bizarre situation with Benny Anders, the player that disappeared for 30-some years, and he turns up in, of all places, southeastern Michigan, and in fact, he's in one of your properties.
Yeah, I was just as surprised as you guys are.
Oh, you were?
Oh, without a doubt. I had no idea. You know, I'm a basketball fan. I played basketball, and I remember that game, you know, the North Carolina State game and the shot and the steal, but I knew Olajuwon, Drexler, those guys. The name Benny Anders didn't really ring a bell, but after watching the old tapes, I remember it vividly, you know, but didn't put two and two together.
Hey, when you rented him the place, did you do a background check on him and see that he's lived in all these?
I mean, what we've got, this particular property he's in, is more like kind of a boarding house.
Okay,
some guys that are, you know, they're all good guys. They're either, you know, they're just janitors, they're dishwashers, yeah, they're good people. You know, it's a hotel, really. So, they're guests, we call them, and they rent by the week. And really, you know, for the most part, they're generally good people.
So you had no suspicion that this was a former college basketball player, Division I, you know, played 3 Final Fours. You had no idea this was this fabulous athlete.
No, not at all. You know, he's a big boy. He's 6'8". I'm 6'4", and he dwarfs me. Wide body, and, you know, I always thought, well, this guy could have been a good athlete. But, you know, the only interaction I really had with him is come paying the bills. He'd come down and say, Dan, I have a little problem here or there. We'd take care of it. But he was a great guest, and he continues to be.
Good God, what a strange, strange thing.
What does he do for a living? Like, how does he earn money? What kind of occupation?
I believe he's in the restaurant business, okay. And he does the back kitchen, coordinates that, a manager of the kitchen type.
Okay.
And how this all came together was basically a camera crew came to the office asking if we know this guy. I was out of the office at the time. they said who they were, 30 for 30, and we had no idea. They asked my guys, does this guy live here? Unfortunately, we disclosed that he did live somewhere in our places, but we didn't tell him where. At that point, I found that out. I tried to intercept him because they did a stakeout across the street from where he lives, and they found him. But if you saw the show, you kind of see that he really didn't want those cameras in his face. Huh. He didn't really think that was a great idea. But he did like seeing his old teammates. But I think there's a reason why he chose to be gone.
Yeah, I don't want to get into that if we can. But first of all, I just want to mention that there was, in essence, something really good came of this for Benny Anders, because you got mixed up in it, Dan. They had offered some money, and you actually ended up negotiating on his behalf to create a pretty decent windfall. I don't know how much you can talk about that, but what can you tell us?
Yeah, well, what I can tell you is that we took the initial offer, and we got it raised by 750%.
Ooh.
Wow, 750%. And that initial offer, by the way, was not $10 or $50. It was a substantial offer.
It was a considerable offer, and I'm a real estate guy. I negotiate real estate, but this seems to be an intricate part of this story. And so after I saw the story, I didn't realize how intricate it was going to be. But they seemed, just the amount of pressure that they were putting on him to sign and get this done, and it took until the very last minute. I mean, it was about a week before that they actually aired the show. They were in our house here doing the interview, and we agreed to the deal the day before.
Wow, that sounds pretty intense. And
there was barely an interview, though. How long did they talk to him? I mean, he really only had like 2 minutes of screen time.
Yeah, that was interesting. They actually were,
but they had no story without that. They had to have that.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, they were here probably for about 40 minutes interviewing him, and they had a lot of tape. I think they chose to put that particular tape in. I don't know if you remember what he wore, that captain's hat.
Yeah, he looked like Professor X.
But I think that goes to him again not wanting to be identified. And I've been out with him, going out to the bars, and he will talk about to people about basketball and everything else. And these people will be saying how much they know and all that. And I ask him, don't you ever want to tell him who you are and what kind of experience? He goes, Dan, why bother? What's the reason? Why would I do that?
Well, I don't know. It's fun to talk about your old days. Who doesn't want to? I mean, I know just from playing college baseball. Ooh, that
ooh, yourself.
The little things that I did in college baseball have become substantially bigger over the years because it's more fun. I mean, it grows in stature over the years. Nobody knows the difference. I mean, that's what most people exaggerate their achievements. But this guy is completely, walking away from it. It's just not human nature. I don't think the way most people think.
No, and hey, I do the same thing. I like to talk about what I've done in the past as well. But, I told him, I said, Benny, do you want to come over and watch this? And first it was, we're going to have a little get together with friends, people,
Oh, the 30 for 30.
Yeah, Wild Air.
Sure.
We didn't see it ahead of time. So I asked him, come on over. And he originally said no. And I thought it was because we were going to have people here. Then he said, listen, maybe just me and you will watch it. Then the day of, he wanders in the office, and I said, hey, we heading over? He goes, I really don't want to see it. I don't really care. I said, well, I think it'd be interesting. You're on it. He said, Dan, I lived it. I know what happened. What do I care?
Wow. He didn't live the search for himself.
Yeah. do you buy it? Because I have to believe there's something really...
that we're not hearing?
Yeah, not tragic, but something that obviously is upsetting to him, or maybe it, because it didn't pan out, they didn't win the championship, his career didn't end up in the NBA, that maybe, he's got a cousin, Orlando Woolridge, who had a great career. Mm-hmm. He has, somebody else in the family was an NBA star, I believe.
Willis
Reed.
Yeah,
Big Jet. Yeah.
All those things I never knew until I watched that. He doesn't share a lot, and truly, as I get to know him, I believe that incident, he didn't live up to his potential as one, is what I think is the issue that he's kind of
no doubt.
And two, I think the other thing is that gun incident, which, you know, when I asked him, I said, listen, man, if I'm going to try to represent you and help you out here, you have to tell me the story. And he just went on to say, you know, and mumbled kind of a gun, and the media blew it out of proportion, blah, blah, blah. But the producer even said, listen, Benny, that was years ago. You didn't even get jail time. You got probation. You didn't kill anyone. But I think he's still upset with himself and still, you know, that really bothers him. And I think he doesn't like that people look at him in that way, because he is a smart man and he seems to be a sensible man now.
Does he not care about money, having any money or any belongings?
Well, you know, not really. You know, I don't know if I should not disclose it to you, but he hasn't touched any of that money that came in. Huh. He doesn't want anything to do with it at this point. He knows he has it there.
Wow.
But, he lives a simple life, and he just, as he said in the interview, he said he kind of wants to fade away into the sunset.
So do you?
What about
you,
his family? I mean, his family didn't even know where he was, which I found kind of like, who are his close friends and family?
Well, that's what I asked him. I said, Ben, you know, what about you? And he always says, Dan, he says, yeah, let's ask a lot of questions. That's what people do when they start to know each other and they have a friendship.
Fairly normal.
So he says, well, my mother, he talks about his mother and wanting to do stuff for her and that kind of thing. But that's really the only one he brings up. I say, you want to go back to Bernice? And he said, why would I go back there? And I said, well, your mother. He said, my mother doesn't live there. You know, and the guy that was on the show that says his brother, he says he doesn't really know.
Oh, wow.
I just don't think he had a lot of close relationships, and I don't think he's the kind of guy that gets close to anyone.
Yeah, because I keep finding myself saying, I just don't believe this guy. I don't believe he really wants to forget about that. There's a block there. There's some breakthrough potentially if he just had the right, I don't know if it's psychiatric care or just talk to the right person. Do you buy it? Do you buy this?
Well,
Dan?
I'm telling you, I didn't at first. I was thinking it, but I've been out with him many times, and we go out and we hang out, and he's eccentric. He doesn't care to talk about it. He'll talk to me about it and tell me how him and Drexler, they dunk on each other, and, you know, the stories, which are great. But when you get to any other company, he quiets down. He'll talk to him about cars and other stuff, and he'll even talk about basketball, but he'll never disclose who he is. Huh. And I find it extremely interesting, and I'm a guy that's pretty easy to open up to. But, you know, he's slowly here and there. But really, it's not about the past is the past. He talks about his time in Italy, how he speaks Italian. He talks about his time down in Latin America where he played. You know, but beyond that,
what if he's?
Does he talk about women? Is he interested in
good question?
Women all the time. Yeah,
talk about dudes.
I read some of these internet things that said he had a sex change or
what?
Yeah. I always joke about him saying they found him to be 400 pounds somewhere, you know? I don't know if that's true.
Does he have friends that are, you know, friends who would be considered, you know, long-term friends here?
No.
No.
He doesn't get close to people.
But he doesn't talk about his past in basketball. What if he's in the bar arguing with some jamoke who makes a ridiculous point and he's like, all right, man, I played basketball, damn it, just to prove that he knows more.
That's the point that I'm making. Is I'm like, hey, man, that guy is trying to argue with you. Can you tell him that you checked up Jordan?
Yeah.
You played against Olajuwon? I mean, get some credibility there, man.
Wow, what a story. We're talking to Dan Dubinsky. Dan, what's the name of your real estate company?
It's Skyward Real Estate.
Oh, wow.
And do you guys mostly your rentals?
No, we do. We do actually mostly we brokerage deals with a lot of loft condos and in the Southeast Metro area. Like I said, I don't want to disclose the location.
They're all over the place.
Yeah, but we do a little bit of management, investing, everything real estate related.
If I wanted a condo in, say, I don't know, Ferndale, Berkeley, or Royal Oak, would I go to you?
You would, as well as you would if you're in Detroit or
Birmingham,
Rochester.
Sure, we could do that as well.
If I wanted to sell my house and then still live in it, would I go to you?
Well, we could do that. We could do you live in it. It's called a reverse mortgage.
Oh, no,
you want a reverse mortgage.
No, you have to die.
If Trudy wanted to move, you'd sell her house for her.
Of course. Yeah. Of course we would.
Okay.
Better deal, too.
So you're a full-service real estate company.
We are.
Wow. Well, I'm done. I'm stumped. I don't know what else. I'm expecting some breakthrough or some explanation for this, but...
Does he ever go to the Y and play basketball? Does he play basketball?
You know, he told me, and he told the guy that why he had to wear the glasses It's because he went to the eye doctor and his eyes were diluted. He was nowhere near the eye doctor. That's why he didn't have to wear the glasses. He also tells me that he runs every morning and that he can still do a 360 dunk. I have a basketball hoop at my house.
On a 7-foot rim.
Yeah. I have a basketball hoop at my house and I've given him a ball before. You know, he hasn't done any of that.
Has he played any basketball at all?
He says he has, but I don't think he has. I really
That's
don't.
That's what it is, Drew. That's what he needs to do.
Yeah, he needs to hoop it up.
You know, I told him, I said, listen, what do you want to do with your life here on end? You have a little bit of money now. What should we do? His idea was to do a coffee house with jambalaya combination.
Jambalaya and coffee. Yeah. I don't know if those two things go together.
that's what I said. I said, listen, he said, white people love jambalaya. I said, listen, well, how about basketball camps? Maybe we can go that route.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Basketball camp. But he'd have to put his name on it to give it credibility.
Yeah.
And he probably
That's what I asked him. Can we at some point put your name on stuff and you represent it? You come out and talk to these kids or motivation or something. And he says, Dan, when the time is right. Hmm. Who knows?
Wow.
You can start a business where he helps people disappear and get off the grid. That's his real expertise.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I don't think he's really trying to do it. I just think he was.
Yeah.
I think he came up here to Flint, I believe, to find his father. And then decided he liked the area and kind of jumped from place to place. I think what happened was how they found him from ESPN was a driver's license he got.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, got to have wheels in the Motor City.
So he drives then?
No, he takes a bus.
What's the driver's license for?
I do not know. I know we went and rented a car the other day, and I wanted to see it, so he had one, and he does have one.
Huh. So we can't drive. Well, yeah, it's a fascinating story, and I'm sure he's indebted to you, Dan. I really thought it was cool the way you upped his deal, and I know that money's going to come in handy for him one of these days. I guess he hasn't spent any of it, but if this jambalaya coffee shop doesn't work out, he'll find some use for it. So that's that was really cool.
Well, I appreciate you guys calling, and I made a friend. The guy is a real nice guy, and I think I've made a friend here throughout all this. I don't know if anything more will come of it, but I certainly am going to help him try to, do something more than what he's doing, because I think he has more potential.
You don't think he's just going to up and disappear one day and do it?
He very well could. He very well could. I don't know. At this point, he's still hanging out where he is, and no one seems to be bothering him. And I think that will be determined if he decides to leave.
Mm. Well, thanks a lot for the story, Dan. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for calling, guys, and have a nice evening.
You bet.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend. We'll see you. Dan Dubinsky.
Bye-bye.
Real estate guy in Southeast Michigan. What a weird story. Yeah, I can't get... Bizarre. I just... this has been going on so long. If it was like 10 years or 15 years, I would understand it. But 30 years, you'd think... Yeah. And I thought maybe that would be a breakthrough to see his teammates.
Yeah.
Well, he hung out with the two Cavs and then that was it, I guess. I don't know.
I think he needs to, do a slam dunk and then he'll break through and all of them.
Yeah, he needs to play some pickup ball at the Y. Yeah.
He needs to hustle some people.
It'll be like a...
go to the Y and hustle them.
Like a Hallmark movie.
Nobody knows who you are.
You got a nice chunk of change.
Yeah.
Like White Men Can't Jump. Remember they used to hustle people?
Yeah.
Woody Harrelson was white.
No, that would be that actually would be cool if he became a dominant player at some YMCA league.
Yeah,
who is that guy?
He has to find his Woody Harrelson. So where's Jason Williams?
Maybe it's Dan Dubinsky. Dan,
where's
played.
White Chocolate from the Mix One tapes or whatever?
Wow, what a story! Well, speaking of sports, Mark, do you know where the Mike Clark calls are online, perchance?
For Michigan State, Michigan?
Yeah.
I don't. I can find them.
The infamous, you want to take a wild crack at it?
2005, right?
2000.
Right? 2005?
Yeah, I think that's the...
It used to be on odd years in Ann Arbor.
I wanted to say 2004 for some reason, but or 2007.
You could be right. Really?
I don't know.
No, because Braylon was playing.
It's the Braylon game.
Braylon wasn't there then. It might be 05 or 04.
You're probably right. It's Michigan football, Mark. You must know.
I don't remember things like that. I'm on to the next game.
Which is?
You remember the old games.
No, too. No.
Well, Mark's looking. How about a little This Day in Rock History?
Oh, yeah.
For October the 27th, 1956, the U.S. Army announces that Elvis will be given the standard GI haircut.
Oh, I know. They made such a big deal out of that.
Yeah, I guess they did.
Yeah.
I mean, that was probably headline news at the time.
Movie tone moment.
That's what they got to do. 64, Sonny and Cher were married on this day. Some 52 years ago. Jeez. Holy shit. They went by Caesar and Cleo before they were Sonny and Cher. And, of course, I Got You, Babe. They had another. Oh, The Beat Goes On.
Oh, yeah. Those were both big songs.
Yeah, those were pretty good. You know, when they played together on Letterman, I thought that was great.
Yeah. The and reunion. It was cool.
That had to be planned. I mean, they acted like it was spontaneous, but
No, that definitely was planned. That show they did, though, did you like, was that funny at all, or was it just cornball?
When they were, oh, the show, oh, their the show.
Sonny and Cher show.
Totally cornball. And it was number one. It was a huge show. It was a monster.
I didn't understand any of it.
I didn't either. I mean, all those shows, the variety shows, they were pablum for the most part. 1973, Gladys Knight and the Pips were number one with Midnight Train to Georgia, their only number one hit. They had some great songs, though. That was a Midnight Train to Georgia. Actually, I like Gladys Knight a lot. Like her tracks.
On that midnight train.
Georgia. Getting on the midnight train. The Pips were critical.
Yes. The Pips were.
Couldn't have done it without the Pips.
No.
2 years later, Bruce Springsteen, on October 27th, 1975, was simultaneously on the covers of Time and Newsweek.
God, I wish I had those.
Who was? I'm sorry.
Bruce Springsteen. Only time it's ever happened. And it's just so weird that he would be on the cover of either one of them, if you ask me.
If you had those in mint condition, would they be worse?
Probably significant, I would say.
From that occasion.
Because, you know, you hear that all the time. It was a big, it was considered what the moment he really hit, you know, by being on the covers of two magazines that normally wouldn't put anyone in rock and roll on the cover. 79, Elton John collapsed on stage at Hollywood's Universal Amphitheater. Exhaustion was the given reason.
Did he go, oh! And put the back of his hand to his forehead?
Elton was partying pretty hard
in
those days.
I love Elton, man.
I do, too. Rules. Mark David Chapman, a year later.
By the way, my favorite Elton thing real quick is the Tower Records documentary.
Oh, that was great.
How often he would shop there and just get off on buying records.
Yeah, they'd open the store.
Came across really cool in that.
Tower Records has a documentary right now because they've gone out of business, and that never should have happened.
All things must end?
Yes.
All things must pass? You
know, all things must pass.
I think, yeah. Colin Hanks did it.
And that custom, do you remember doing that, going to the record store and on a binge?
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally.
And then exploring things that you weren't sure about, but you're like, you know, the record person knowledgeably would advise you, if you like this band, you'll like that band. And so you took home, like, Talking Heads and...
Talking Heads. God, I remember buying their records, actually. I love those records. They're so good.
Ann Arbor used to have a massive Tower Records.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Upstairs,
I remember it well.
Loved
it. Was a great store.
Yeah.
And that's gone.
Yep.
Yeah,
it is.
I don't know what it is now.
Like just about every Tower Records. And that,
probably another coffee shop.
The documentary is so good because, you know, the guy that started it, it was really an innocent thing.
A boob.
Yeah, he was kind of a boob, but he saw the need. And he got this, he just bought this, he was selling records for, I think it was his parents' pharmacy or something. They just sold some albums in one section. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden he thought, you know, there's more to this if I open a shop or something. And there was a big place, it was for rent, and he just said, I'm going for it.
Wow.
And they opened it up, and sure enough, the place was a success. And then I think he was in San Francisco, and he noticed this one place, he was on a payphone. And he saw the for rent sign in this building across the street, and he thought, wow, that'd be a perfect Tower Records, you know, my next door. And so sure enough, he inquired, and it was cheap rent. So they painted it up and put in new flooring and all that, and that place just was huge.
Wow.
The San Francisco one was a giant. And then it was store after store after store after store. And that is what became the downfall of Tower Records, was they opened too many stores too fast. And it was mostly, was it the overseas business that sunk them?
They expanded too big, too fast.
Yeah.
They still dominated Asia, though.
Yeah, they still have a store there. They still have a successful store. Yeah. Very successful stores there.
Mm.
But eventually, they were so deeply in debt that the bank was telling them what they had to do. Oh, you got to get rid of this guy, this guy, this guy. And when the bank is running your business, then you're finished.
What was the chain around here?
Oh,
Harmony House.
Harmony House
is great, too.
You know, I can't. Tower Records was, I couldn't remember it, because I remember Peaches and then Strawberries was on the East Coast.
Oh, that's right.
And then Harmony House here.
You know, it was, I just remember this. It was the San Francisco Tower Records that Elton John went to all the time, wasn't it?
It was. It wasn't. I thought it was Hollywood, the one in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
Hollywood,
you're probably. Vine, it's got to be. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And they would close the store, and Elton would come in and buy like 50 albums on a Monday morning and go nuts. and Harmony House, do you remember Aretha Franklin did an ad for Harmony House?
Yeah.
Why did she do that? I always assumed that
it
was for the money. Because why does anyone do it? I mean, anyone does an endorsement. It's to get paid. But Harmony House was a Michigan chain. It was a small chain.
Yeah.
It wasn't that big. I mean, what do you think they paid her?
Maybe
a couple
she had
thousand
maybe
bucks?
She had an outstanding bill from Harmony
House. That probably was true.
She had as many bills as she had out.
It was unlike her to pay her bills, though.
JJ found the Aretha Franklin Harmony House commercial.
I'd like to see your music.
That's Haywood Banks.
Oh,
nice,
huh?
Yep.
That's it?
Heck no. We just added a new wing. It's even got a second floor.
Forget it, honey. I'm going to Harmony House.
It's anybody's guess who's in the music.
The way she swung her hand up by her face.
Well, one thing's for sure. Harmony House is the
she has another line, I think.
Music store. Because music is all
is it?
You do.
Mm-hmm.
They give you R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Oh.
Oh.
That cost them.
God.
Wow, that cost them a fortune.
I'm telling you, I bet she was paid $5,000 max. It's Harmony House. Right, I mean, it's just not that big.
Right.
They had like 20 stores or 50 stores.
Huh. Wonder how long that ran. Forever.
I think it ran a lot. I remember it well. Yeah.
I wish they'd go back into business and run that ad again.
Me too.
I mean, if I was Aretha Franklin's manager, I'd just say, Aretha, you're not doing an ad for Harmony House. You could do an ad for McDonald's. I mean, name the giant company.
Johnny Rockets.
Coffee.
Johnny
Starbucks. Starbucks.
Her favorite, Johnny Rockets.
Johnny Rockets.
Anything. I mean, something huge. If Aretha Franklin does an endorsement, it ought to be for a couple million bucks. Of course, right?
Yes. What kind of stupid advice was she getting?
I just think she did stuff like that on her own.
Impulsively.
Nobody tells me I can't do an Ever Harmony House. Ever Harmony House, I'll do it. You don't want to do one, then you don't do one. Don't tell me what to do.
But Aretha. And you have to pay your carpenters.
Oh, I know. Her and Bills. You know, in the book, they actually talked about her refusal to pay Bills. It wasn't that she refused to pay Bills. There was that thing where, you know, she tried to get stuff for free.
Right.
Of course, that's true. Yeah. We heard that from a million people. Because she was front page news one day. I think it was a Monday, came in the Free Press. The front page story was Motown star, you know, stiffs creditors. And they had probably 30 or 40 people who said she hadn't paid them. And it was an incredible long list. And we had people calling us all morning who said they did something for her. She just thought, I'm Aretha, I don't pay for that stuff.
Right. The best were the calls about what a dump she lived in.
Well, there was shit all over the place. I mean, she was like a hoarder.
Oh, I know someone that worked on her house, and they can attest to that.
And there was like a boat, just a broken boat or something on the land, too.
The bobcat.
Didn't Clark fly over and see it?
Yeah. Mike was obsessed with the bobcat because she had a fire.
Yeah, that her kid allegedly set, right?
Yeah, well, they found him with the accelerant all over him, but they somehow, and he ended up getting off. I don't remember how or why that happened. And, of course, she said he didn't do it. So
she agreed to do a Harmony House ad.
Ah, that's it.
Charges.
Anyway, back to the list, 1980. Not only was Mark David Chapman buying a 38 special for $169, 6 weeks later he would use it to kill John Lennon. Former T-Rex member Steve Took died from choking on a cherry stone.
What?
Yeah. He had taken a large quantity of magic mushrooms, and the belief was that the roof of his mouth was numb, and so he had trouble swallowing this cherry stone. He died.
Wow.
Crazy.
What a weird way to die.
Shrooms.
Grateful Dead on this day in 84, during a U.S. tour, dedicated for the first time a specific area for fans to bootleg shows.
That was cool.
And, you know, totally
cool. They changed
it. Nobody else did that.
Yeah,
did they?
Yeah, they changed the whole thing.
2003, Scott Weiland was arrested for a car accident that was his fault, of course. And turns out he was under the influence of drugs and alcohol. It's crazy. So he went into a rehab.
If Uber had been around back then, Scott Weiland could have saved himself so much trouble.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, what is it? Yeah, he was always driving himself.
So he was driving into the, you know, into the parts of town where
the scummy
it's
hotels.
So obvious. Yeah, yeah, like in his Lexus.
No, he had
score.
He had some. Yeah, what's Alexis doing in that dumpy hotel?
Right.
It's pretty obvious. Yeah. And 2013, just 3 years ago today, Lou Reed died.
Yeah.
And that's that. Any
I think I found him.
Oh, cool.
By the way, you're right. It was 04.
Oh, it was 04?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This should be number one. You got me up there.
Oh, it's Yuppie Slayer?
Yeah. I don't know how good the quality is.
We may be talking over these when they played on the show. So.
Oh, okay. Well, then you play them.
Saturday, October 30th at 6:35 p.m.
Hey, Drew, it's Mike. It's 11 minutes left in the fourth, and MSU, up 20-10, two scores away. Wow, and this all without Drew Stanton. Wow, unbelievable.
This is not the most exuberant message, not even close.
Somehow, Michigan pull it out in the end, like they're doing it against against all odds. Could they pull it out? I don't think so. Do I dare predict a victory? It still is MSU. Anything can happen, and I've seen it all. So, I don't know. We just had a nice run back right there. Very nice indeed. I don't know, man. I don't know. Right now I want to be so happy and say it's over, but it is State, and Michigan always pulls them up. But there is two scores. A touchdown and a field goal. Will the Spartans go to victory? Same bat time, same bat channel. Anyway, man, give me a call if you get this. Oh, man, actually.
The next message is dramatically different.
Oh.
Saturday, October 30th this is after the at inside. 6:45 p.m.
Drew, Mike, it is over, my man.
Oh, no. State scored again. That's right.
We just ran one all the way.
27-10.
Oh, I thought that's what it was last time.
Oh, baby.
It was 20-10.
This is unbelievable.
Oh, man.
There's something like 8 minutes left in the game, I think.
Yeah.
This
is when I left the game.
27-10.
I'm going to be a fool and declare it over, even though, you know, it's always, you never know with Michigan, but come on. Come on, they could never come in. 27-10 with 8:43 left in the fourth. This has got to be certain victory.
How wrong you are.
Oh, dear God. And in the big house. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Oh, yeah, boy. Too bad for Michigan. We just bobbled the kickoff return, by the way. Down at the 7. Yeah, but I bet you just saw how I was very bummed out.
Oh, I was very bummed out.
You just left the stadium.
I was.
See ya.
I can't believe you left the stadium.
He was so exuberant.
I was a little pissed off.
What was it the... Let's see. Was that another Cobb score?
Yeah.
Put them ahead? A long run. Yeah, 65 yards or something.
Yep.
Okay, so it's 27-10. And then shortly after that, State gives up a touchdown. Michigan scores on another Braylon Edwards.
Because, you know, the infamous catch over, I can't remember who the cornerback was. He did that twice.
Yeah.
The two touchdowns back-to-back. But what people...
Stole the ball from somebody, basically.
I think people might forget, though, is that they chose to kick a field goal. Do you remember that with about 6 minutes left? Because they're down 17.
Oh, okay. So it's 27-13.
27-13.
Yeah.
Braylon made a great catch to get it down there, but then they couldn't get it in the end zone.
Okay.
And Lloyd decided to kick the field goal.
And then kick onside. And in fact, Michigan recovered the onside kick, and that's why Clark is suddenly desperate.
You got it.
upset.
I think it's 27-20 at this point.
Uh-oh.
Okay, maybe. We'll see.
Because they onside. Go ahead.
Change of tone.
Go ahead.
Saturday, October 30th at 7 p.m.
Well, Drew, look how fast it turned around. Now with 6 minutes left, one touchdown behind. Michigan does the usual thing and pulls away from behind. They always come from behind. Who would have thought the Spartans would completely, totally, and thoroughly come unglued? What an asinine... What a asinine onside kick. I can't believe this stupid son of a bitch that tried to catch that thing like a line drive.
That was
dumb. And I knew the minute he threw the ball, it was going to be a touchdown. Leave it to the Spartans to throw the entire motherfucking game away. To throw the whole damn game away.
Look how it's changed.
In the waning minutes of the fourth quarter. I'm acknowledging defeat with 6 minutes left.
It's still up.
It's 27-20. The Spartans are up
by two touchdowns, and
close.
It's over. I'm already saying it. The Spartans have lost. I've had it. I'm, you know what, I don't think I'm ever going to support them again, ever. I'm sick and tired of being disappointed time and time again. There comes a point where, you know, you support a team until it reaches a point where you're a fool to support them any longer.
So like a broken man.
And to support the Spartans any longer is to be a fool. I've had it. The blue is the goddamn green and white. I'm sick and tired of being disappointed. I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of this crushing disappointment, bitter disappointment. Huh. It always, always, always let you down in the end. Every goddamn time. Up three scores. My God, they'd have to score three times to tie them. And by God, if they're not winning a touchdown with 6 minutes, that's like having a half a day. 6 minutes to Michigan is an entire day to get this squared away. And all the momentum is with Michigan, I'm sure. And all this with O'Dowd steering the boat as well. Drew Stanton is the one that put them on the map, and when he went out, apparently it was over. Mother damn this bull. Well, that's it. I've had enough. I'm just telling you, the Spartans are going to lose, and lose big. All right, man, I'm done with these messages. I'm just going to... I think I might even shut the game off, really. Seriously, I think I'm going to shut off the TV. I've had it. See you, man. Bye.
He's not shut off the TV, of course.
He was first to celebrate. He celebrated prematurely, and then he gives up prematurely.
Yeah, and they're going to lose by two touchdowns. There's 6 minutes left in the game, and they're down a touchdown, and they're going to lose by two touchdowns.
As painful as last year was, I wish he would have left a message last year. He's probably beside himself.
Yeah, that was
10 seconds.
That's part of why I'm convinced Michigan will kill Michigan State this year, because they are still stinging from that. Oh, what a stinging defeat. I'm trying to remember, Mark. I don't remember talking to you after that game. How stung were you?
I was pretty stung. I don't know.
I mean, it can't get any worse than that.
You know what's funny? The reaction.
I mean, victory was in your hands.
Oh, I wasn't so certain necessarily.
Oh, a punt. A punt?
Ask,
getting a punt off?
Ask Chris Keenest, Bill's kid, who was sitting by me, and I said, I'm not so certain about this punt. Because part of me wanted him to just go for it. Wasn't it 4th and 2?
Yeah, I think it was 4th and 2. They could have done a myriad of things.
I didn't think it would be what happened, but I was more afraid of a punt return. So he was saying, well, just kick it out of bounds. I'm like, well, then they still have 10 seconds. They might have to go 70 yards.
That's right. God, there was so little time on the clock.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me.
Sorry. How many seconds were there?
10 seconds.
10 seconds.
Holy shit.
Yeah, he could have run out of his own end zone.
So many weird things. He could have laid on the ball. But because he was an Australian kicker, they don't think that way. They think to get the punt off.
Yep.
You know, if he had been playing football his whole life, he would know you just fall on it there. But what I was gonna say is that was so different from 94 with Cordell Stewart and the pass into the end zone, because that place just went dead silent. But with Michigan State, of course, there were pockets of State fans who were going ape shit last year. So it was kind of just a surreal flip-flop. It was one of those things, too. You almost didn't know exactly what happened.
Yeah, no, it was so weird.
Fast.
The people doing the play-by-play for the game really had trouble. They were catching up with it.
I've never seen it. I've never heard the
You've never seen the play?
I've seen the play. I've never heard
the call. Never heard the audio.
I won't listen. I don't want to listen to it. I'm going to be a big baby about it.
Adult baby.
I'm trying to think if there's a defeat I've endured for one of my favorite teams that was ever quite that bad. The last play. The Hokies are on, by the way.
The Sugar Bowl 2011. You were pretty pissed off
about
that.
That was a stinker. Yeah. Yeah, they scored it. It was a third and long, and they threw it in the end zone in overtime, and it was ruled a touchdown, and they overturned it.
Plus, remember, Michigan had that wacky bad snap on the field goal where they just launched it.
There were a lot of funky things in that game.
It was a weird game.
I think Virginia Tech outgained Michigan by a lot.
Yeah.
It was a weird game. It was a stinker. It was a weird, you know what was cool about it, though? To see my two favorite teams playing each other.
Yeah.
They were the two teams that I spend the most time rooting for. Playing each other in a game was very odd. It was cool. It was fun. I actually enjoyed it.
In New Orleans, no.
Yeah, in New Orleans. Yeah, and to be at the game, it was fun. It was great. Not the result I wanted. And when they got that touchdown, too, and I heard, I think it was Mr. Bob Greasy. who said that, oh, that's a good catch. You know, I was so sure they were going to hold it up. But no, it was not to be. So, yeah, that was a stinger. But I can't call it, like, the worst. Oh, like, no. I mean, to have a punt snap, I mean, not to rub it in, but it was brutal. Are we about to score there? They're trying to decide if that's a catch.
Julie just sent me a text that says you're in so much trouble. And I opened up. She found that I found the candy stash.
Oh, boy.
I'm gonna write, what? We have mice?
Right. that open up the wrappers.
Trudy, I found it like 3 days ago. I'm surprised I went this far without her noticing. Look at the animal that ripped into that bag.
God, what an animal.
Oh, my God. That bag is ripped open.
What's it a bag of?
Mixed.
Let's see. 100 grand, Snickers, M&M's, Kit Kat, Reese's. Oh, there's Reese's in there. I never found the Reese's.
Don't be gone.
Milky Way.
How devastated is the bag?
It's ripped open.
I haven't eaten that much out
like
of it.
Like a bear got to it.
But I have to, like, grab it really quick.
A bear?
Yeah. I'd have to grab it really quick.
Did you order you something to eat?
And then I'd take the wrappers and, like, crumple them up in a paper towel and put them in the trash.
Which ones?
Yeah, would you
in
eat?
A paper towel? That's great.
Well, if she opens up the trash can to throw something in, I don't want to see this colorful wrapper. Yeah. That would
this is your
attention.
Wife. It's hilarious. It's just hilarious that you're hiding candy wrappers from your wife.
It's kind of fun.
This is a yearly thing,
I feel
thing,
like
though.
I'm getting away with something.
I hide them, too. I do the same thing.
Trudy, who are you hiding them from?
Joey.
Your son?
I feel like I'm getting away with something. It's
he's
taboo.
A healthy eater, and I sometimes do, you know, reckless things.
Does he excoriate you when you eat bad taste?
He looks disapproving.
Think of it this way, Drew. 3 days went by without me getting crap for eating candy.
Candy
no.
bars.
No, I wasn't questioning it at all. It's just very funny.
She wouldn't even give me crap.
Mark, were you eating what you thought were the weak candy bars, you know? So
no, but I do have a complaint.
No one would want.
I felt like they weren't evenly distributed throughout the bag, so every time I reached my hand, it was a Kit Kat, which is fine. I like Kit Kat.
Kit Kat's the best.
But, you know, all the Reese's peanut butter cups are at the bottom of the bag now, apparently, and 100 grand, which is very underrated as a candy bar.
$100,000 bar? Yeah. Great. Yeah. Awesome.
I don't like it.
Oh, she wrote back because I told her it was mice. Let's see.
But, Mark, this is a yearly thing where she busts you. You get into the candy. She hides the Halloween candy. Mark finds it, goes
every year.
Crazy.
Every year.
And she finds out. It does. It's
sure.
A yearly event.
Interesting. They know how to use the garbage, too. You're going to have to try harder if you murder me.
All a lie.
She's smart.
You know, I got to say, with the recruitment of volunteers for Angels Night.
Oh, yeah.
And how do you call something Angels Night where there's a group of people who want to burn down the city every year, and they've been doing it for 30 years, and you have to have volunteers literally on every square inch of the city, or else they will burn down the city,
right.
And you call it Angels Night.
Yeah.
It's not Angels Night. What... I mean, seriously, how long can this go on? Will this go on forever?
Yeah, they've sold it for how many years now? 10?
They sold
Angels Night.
Oh.
The rebranding of Devil's Night.
Yeah, it's probably been 10 years. What now?
She sent another picture, and she's right. I didn't cover my tracks. I forgot there's a trash can in the garage, and I didn't hide the trash in that trash. I just threw the wrapper in there. Does that make sense?
Mark?
Outside of the house.
Mark.
No, Mark.
I think she would be looking in there.
Would she normally look at the...
No.
Man.
So she's running around busting you right now?
No,
going
she
going to
must,
every garbage
she
can?
She must have looked in there. I don't know why she would have looked in there.
He's like a kid. He got caught.
Flush him down the toilet.
The candy wrappers?
Yeah.
Oh, sad news. I had to flush my fish down the toilet yesterday.
Oh no, what happened?
It was really bummed. He got sick. It was a beta fish, but it was very sad. So, of course, first thing this morning.
Charlotte?
Where's Bruce?
Oh.
Julie goes, he died. He had to leave. Aww. She goes, okay.
By way of toilet.
What, you told her that Bruce had to leave?
Yeah, he died. He had to leave. Okay.
Oh,
she's
okay.
Cool with
she's
it.
She's okay with it.
She doesn't care.
I have these giant orange fish, and one got huge,
yeah.
And then got caught between a rock and the side, literal rock and a hard place. And drown.
Wait, he drowned?
Well, he drowned because they got to move around and be able to breathe stuff
so
like that. And so I tried to flush him down the toilet, and I knew right when I did it that it was that he would not go down.
And he came back
up. It was too big.
No. He's that big?
Yes, he was that big. He was, because he's slippery, he got past, you know, like the bowl and got caught in the pipes.
Oh no!
And was in.
Oh, gross!
He was in there, and plunging didn't help. And he was in there for like a day or so.
Oh, what a debacle!
Flushings and
did
you Drano him?
No, I couldn't. I couldn't bring myself to do it. I'm just like, he'll decompose. Hopefully.
Oh, well, you're right.
With enough time, but
that was the weird thing. So, like 2 hours later, I had to use that toilet, and I felt bad. I felt like I was,
That's a shame.
Disgrace to
Bruce.
You
won't know the difference.
My fish Bruce.
Yeah, it is a desecration of sorts.
Very sacred burial.
But getting back to Angel's
dump
Day,
on it.
The whole congratulatory thing, too, afterwards, you know, like, look what we did.
Yeah.
We prevented people from burning down the city once again. And it's this real positive spin. And even the news anchors try to act all nicey-nice about how cool it is that they didn't burn the city down again. I mean, it's just...
Only 50 fires.
Yeah, it almost seems like they could just blow it off now.
Well, that's what okay, do you think, honestly, because Angels Night exists, it kind of still makes it a thing, so people try to burn stuff down?
Well, if you remember...
Try to get away with it?
There was one year, I think it was Archer's first year, when they decided, you know what,
right,
let's just not talk about it.
Yeah.
Because we only had...
They went way up, didn't they?
So few fires. Yeah, they had 600 instead of 50 or 100. Mm. So the Devils went way... They went crazy, and Archer was... considered to be sleeping at the wheel. So they had this. That's when they started Angels Night, I think. That's because they went crazy with people the next year.
Yeah.
And it was, they were literally asking, you know, okay, you guys, the arsonists, you just got to take these few days off. And, you know, we don't want all the fires at once. That's what you do on Devil's Night. We're on to you. We're going to patrol like crazy. And, you know, if there's any sign, you know, carry an accelerant, anything like that, we're going to prosecute you the full extent of the law. And then afterwards, like, thank you, Criminal Detroit. That was so wonderful of you to delay your arsonist activities and do other things, you know, carjack or whatever you were doing instead. Thank you so much. It's just so odd.
Yeah.
Well, remember they made that great PSA.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. That was stellar. Yeah, thanking all the criminals.
What do you do when you're a citizen patrol then? Do you just drive around?
Yeah, that cool light, that cool orange light and t-shirts.
Yeah, they hand out those orange lights to damn near anybody. Yeah, and those people get off on
that. I kind of want one. Yeah, I kind of want one.
Yeah.
I lived next door to a volunteer fireman in Collinsville, Virginia.
Yeah.
When I was working in radio on WFIC Collinsville, which was 1510 AM.
Oh.
Boy, did they have some cume on that station. In fact, this place was so small. It was such a neighborhood kind of station. I think it had 500 watts. It was a daytimer. Oh, Hokie's almost set. This game is going to be very distracting. Damn it.
Still way early.
It was a daytimer. They powered it down at night?
Yeah, they powered it down at night.
Oh, my God.
And not the one that I used to fail to power down, because I was always on when the power down happened. And the station in Greensboro would call and go, hey, you know, something's wrong with our power, and it almost seems like you guys didn't power down. And I go, I don't think so. And then you hear a ka-chunk, you know, as I pulled the thing down. No, I don't think so at all. And they go, oh, wow, it seems like something just happened. You know, no, I don't know. It's crazy. Yeah. I don't know. You might want to try, you know, there was another signal, actually, that was related to the interference. You might want to try, you know, WKRL or whatever it is. You go, okay, yeah, thanks. But every time they called, and eventually, too, when I saw the hotline, and it was like after that period, I would know, oh, shit, I forgot to turn the power down. And I just go, ka-chunk, and I pick up the phone and go, yeah, what's going on?
And they go, never mind.
No, they usually didn't know by then, and I'd say, oh, no, I know what you're talking about. Things are pretty loosey-goosey. But anyway, this station in Collinsville was so loose, they left the front door open, and people used to come in, and they could view you in the studio, and so...
Oh, my God.
People would come in, and yeah, because the studio was inside the building,
yeah,
but they'd leave the front door open, and people literally come in, and they, you know, you might see three or four people watching you for 5 minutes, then they leave.
Was the studio door locked?
No, it wasn't locked. That's what's so funny, because what I was going to tell you was, and I think it was hot, and I don't think the building was air-conditioned, and so, and this is how small time it was. I had the studio door open, and this little kid came in, and he was like a neighborhood kid, and he used to come in from time to time. Anyway, he comes in, and he's like playing with a football like this. Anyway, he dropped his football and hit the needle and knocked it off the record.
Did you yell at him? What are you doing, kid?
I kind of did, and I felt bad afterwards, because it's like, who cares?
I know.
Fuck.
What?
Sorry, mister.
What song were you playing at that point?
God, I have no idea. It was an adult contemporary station,
oh,
though.
Oof,
so,
gross.
But the neighbor, did he have a cherry? The volunteer firefighter?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the neighbor. When I lived in Collinsville, yeah. I had a neighbor who had a cherry. He had the yellow light. And he had a Pinto. And he used to tear ass out of our parking lot with that light on. And it'd be like, oh, my God, is that guy hard. He just got so turned on when there was any sign of a fire. Couldn't wait to get in that Pinto, crank that light, and just tear ass.
He started setting them.
Probably. They've had situations where that happens with firemen all the time.
They always bust the guy with the semen.
Yep.
They did. He put out the fire with
found him. His semen at the fire.
Oh, my God. No way.
He literally got off. Wow, the quarterback just threw a pass that missed the receiver by so much. It hit the defensive back in the face. He wasn't expecting it either. And he threw it hard. You know what? We're at the hour 10 mark. We should wrap part one. And you ready to enjoy part two? Or we welcome part two people.
Oh, boy.
Crazy. Join us shortly. Trudy, courtesy of 94.7 WCSX Classic Rock. Join Trudy and Jim Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. And we'll see you in part two.